Good evening, squirrels.
Yankee Doodle came to town to buy a firelock. We will tar and feather him and call him John Hancock.
That's not the way I heard that.
It's
is that the British version?
It's all kind of regional differences,
I guess.
What isn't it? Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni.
That's right.
Yeah, that is the correct version. I was trying to get everyone to sing Proud to Be an American for you.
No, that's not going to happen.
Oh, come on, do West Side Story.
So the big thing is that our friend Hayden has undergone the arduous process of becoming an American citizen.
Yes, I have.
And, he identifies as American.
Well, he identifies as poly. poly citizen.
Because by citizen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Citizen. I guess it's just two, so yeah, bi would be more appropriate.
He's citizen curious.
No, he was citizen curious. Now he's officially bi citizen. So, you know, it was like
this came as a surprise to me.
It was a total surprise. I had no idea. You never told us you were contemplating.
No,
this.
No one expects the Hayden Inquisition.
No, and the minute we saw it, I guess it was last week. We said, "Oh, we got to get Hayden on the show." So we need to hear about this.
It seemed just yesterday he was talking about Brexit. They grew up so fast.
I know.
Yes, it was. So is it? It was a bit of a. It was. I saw the way that the election was going and didn't.
Which
I mean, not the upcoming election, and also obviously all the you know the nonsense.
Oh, the 2020 election.
Yes, and the Kavanaugh and all of that, and was, you know, absolutely disgusted. And so I decided that I would go through the process and to be able to vote, to be able to, you know, pull the lever and contribute, because I spend enough time here in America. I spend enough time in England with, you know, with my work, but I'm spending a bit more and more time in America. I just wanted to be able to vote rather than be electorally persona non grata.
So let me get this straight. A citizen of the United Kingdom wanted to have some representation for his taxation.
Yes.
Oh, Alan.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Now, is he a citizen of the United Kingdom or a serf?
A subject, I believe is what they call
subject.
It.
Subject. Yeah.
Yes, or a national. My British passport states me as a national. That's the word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I think citizen and national are just, you know, British English versus American English. Really, it's just. So
do people refer to themselves as subjects over there now, or is it just all citizens? I mean, because it used to be back when the Queen actually had power, they was all, you know, you're all, it was all, you know, subjects of the Queen, right?
Yes, and subjects of the Crown,
right.
Which is perhaps the better.
Have it. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, they do in. I mean, if you're having conversations, you know, with sort of, you know, barristers in Queen's Counsel, you know, then yes, that language is still used in a legal sort of documentation way, but in a general conversation, no, we, you know, it's just I'm a British national.
Hayden, Have you ever worn a wig?
No, I have not.
Just wanted to make sure. You started talking about, you know, barristers and stuff, and I'm like, oh.
Wait, wait. Hayden makes coffee?
No, that's a barista. Oh, shame.
It's been a long time. Not the dad joke.
Although when I was in England, I had a girlfriend that was an attorney,
Wear a wig?
Yes, actually, she did.
I'm sorry to laugh at the long traditional role of wigs in jurisprudence in the UK, but the idea of a woman having to wear a powdered wig just. Yes. Makes me laugh. I'm sorry. I apologize to anyone that's offended.
She used to hate it because I joked to her. I said that when she was not soliciting, she was practicing at the bar.
Oh, jeez.
Soliciting. Yes. That means something different, Hayden. I'm just saying.
Yes. But I did used to, you know, boast to my friends that, you know, I got to, you know, go home and, you know, every night fuck a lawyer, you know, instead of, well, you know.
Instead of the normal reverse, right? Oh, good. So basically, your motivation for becoming a U.S. citizen is so you could vote in the 2020 election.
Yes, that is. And we can, I mean, we can play along and say that there are other motivations, sure. But really there aren't. It was to be able to vote and contribute to, you know, the democracy of America. You watch a country that you live in, and if you're persona non grata, you obviously I was, then you start to get frustrated, and it's not a sort of a frustration that goes away.
Yeah.
Are you saying you had blue votes?
I'm sorry, Jay, what do you say?
Blue vote.
Blue vote.
You're right. Jay must be stopped.
I don't get it.
I got the joke, Jay.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay.
You had votus interruptus.
Oh. Oh God, Jay. Oh. Jay. Oh. That was
terrible. That was horrible. You know, Hayden, I think that's really interesting that you bring up the frustration that you felt like being just an observer and you're not able to, you know, participate or really like your opinion doesn't even really count. You're not American, you know.
Especially when you're paying
taxes. My father never became an American citizen. He was an Irish citizen. And but at the same time, he was really into politics. He loved politics and he followed politics and, you know, his whole life, like, you know, but he was never able to vote in this country.
Now we know
where and it's, well, yeah. But it, it's interesting to hear you say that because I never really thought about, I mean, my dad was into politics, but he never expressed any like real, like need or desire to vote. It wasn't like he thought that maybe, you know, he should get his citizenship and vote. So I don't know. Maybe he did at some point, like think about it, but he just never became a citizen. So that's interesting.
Mm. The process was neither easy nor fun. And, and it wasn't cheap.
Right.
I mean, I ordered my passport, 2 days ago, and it was almost $270. I was like, wow, okie dokie. I mean, and that, you know, but it took me about 3.5 months just under 4 months from yes, I'm going to do this, ink on the paper, application in to being sworn in. But obviously this was Cleveland.
Wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
4 months to become a citizen.
Yeah. Yes.
Weren't people going crazy over Trump declaring people no longer refugees and that they had to go home and they'd been here for what, 17 years?
So, well, they were here illegally, Jetty.
You became a citizen. They came here under refugee status. They actually did come here legally. I'm going to get this wrong, and there's going to be people yelling at their computers. I want to say it was like El Salvador or one of the South American countries. There was some sort of natural disaster.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
They all came here like 2001. And like 2017, 2018, Trump was like, they came here as refugees. The crisis has long been over. They need to go home. And
they're not making any effort to go through the citizenship process.
Right.
They're waiting on is some Democrat to wave a magic wand and say, you're citizens now. That's what they want. They don't want to do what Hayden did.
I'm surprised they allowed you to become citizen, Hayden. You're obviously not going to vote for the right people.
They don't listen to the show? I mean, come on.
The attorney I used had a pussycat in her pussy hat in her office. And
oh dear.
Yes, I spent the whole time, you know, thinking, do I need to draw the words shut up on the back of my hand just to remind myself?
Yes. So you went, what, so can you just kind of walk us through process that you had to go through? You fill out a paperwork. Apparently you found a lawyer that deals with this kind of stuff, because I'm sure it's complex.
Yes, it was. I took a look at it and started filling out the paperwork, and then had a real bad case of fuck this noise.
Decided to pay somebody else to do it for you. That's,
you're right.
Very smart.
I come down with that same ailment every time it's time to change my oil.
Yep.
The paperwork itself is it's a couple of thousand, and then I had to pay the attorney, which is a little bit more than that. There was a significant amount of significant amount of money. This was also through Cleveland. I think, I think if I was in Florida or if I was in California, the process may have taken longer. Then I had to go and get fingerprinted, and a complete criminal background check done on myself. They interviewed, my wife, they interviewed us, separately, because obviously I'm applying because I'm married to an American, right?
Did they do that thing where they go, are you really married?
Oh, yes. They asked me a question that I remember what's the color of your wife's toothbrush?
Oh dear, I don't think my husband could answer that.
I don't know the color of my toothbrush. Come on.
It was fairly serious.
Yeah, but the fact that you've been married a long time probably helped, right? I mean, it wasn't like you got married 6 months ago and now you're applying for citizenship. I mean, it's, you know.
Yes.
It's been a while.
It's been, yeah. And then there's the infamous civics exam, which is 100 questions.
What did you score, Hayden? I need to know.
I got 100%.
Of
course he did.
You know, it's funny, and I was telling Brita this earlier. It's funny to me that we make prospective citizens take a test that most high school graduates could not possibly pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's infamous for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we should probably make, you know, it's like we should make, you know, when you're getting ready to graduate from high school, here, take this test.
If you fail it, we deport you.
No, if you fail it, you don't get to vote, and all this other stuff. There's a whole. I know the loophole, if you want to call it that, is that these kids are already citizens. Therefore, there's no justification in, you know, making them take a test to be able to vote or anything like that. Because God forbid somebody be actually, you know, what the hell they were talking about before they vote. But, you know, the way they get away with doing it to non-citizens is it's like, you know, because they're not citizens, therefore we can give them this test. You can go online. There's, you know, there's like examples online of the test. It's not all that hard if you're, you know, if you've paid attention, but it's not easy either. I mean, it's a, you know.
Yeah. On the website, the official website, they have the questions and they have the answers. And they have them in other languages as well, not just English. And you can download apps that have all the questions, all the answers, and honestly, that's what I did. I just, if I had 15 minutes here or 15 minutes there, I just, you know, banged out 15 questions and, you know, then another 15. And the ones I got wrong, I put them on a separate list and then banged out that list. It was.
So is there like a pool of questions and of that pool, they ask you 100, or is it just
here's
these 100 questions we're going to ask you? So start memorizing.
These are the 100 questions. There are no others.
Okay.
It's these and these, and these are the answers. So
get to learn.
So if you're somewhat dedicated and can, you know, read and write English or whatever language you're going to take the test in, I guess, then, you know, this is something most people could do if they really wanted to.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So you get this test. They say sentences out loud to you in English and you have to write them down. Obviously, I didn't even bother revising.
You speak English?
So when you were taking your English lessons, Hayden?
Yeah. And then you have to, there's a written exam. They give you a sheet of paper with paragraphs on. You have to, you know, write them down.
So it's like English reading and writing kind of a test.
Yes. Oh, yes. Wow. It is. It's proper. It's not a joke of a it's not you know, it's not a halfway test that you go in and you know, and don't really care about. I mean, I cared. I knew I had to put effort into the civics just because, you know, I wanted to put effort in and get it and get it right, and I did. And plus, I've spent this money and spent this effort, so I might as well. Right. You know, if you know what the questions are and you know what the answers are and you get them wrong, well,
yeah. It's just a matter of memorizing, you know, at that point,
it's not that difficult. I mean, there was a couple of questions that obviously, you know, changed with the location that you were, because some of them were for Ohio. And if you're in Florida, they're for Ohio, you know, they're in Florida and California. So it's like, you know, what's the governor of the state of Ohio? What's you know, who's the member of the House of Representatives? You know, who's the member of your Senate? And I knowing whom I would be, you know, a government employee, I deliberately memorized Democrat names.
Nice.
Well, especially in Ohio, right?
Right. What
was anybody in your family surprised by this, Hayden?
No, they all knew, and they all knew and supported me from day one, because I wasn't losing anything. So I've gone from having single citizenship to dual citizenship. The only thing that is the only thing I've detriment is that I now forever, no matter where I live on the planet, have to pay American taxes.
Yep. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Don't answer this if you don't want to, but most of your income's in the U.S. anyway, right? At this point.
At this point, yes.
So it's not that big a deal right now, theoretically. And that's the problem all American citizens face. If you, you know, if you go to some other country to earn a living, you pay the IRS no matter where you earn that money.
Yep.
And a lot of other countries don't do that. So, you know, it's just a quirk of American. They also, now that you have a U.S. passport, can you use your British passport? Because I know their customs is really picky about entry and exit on the same passport.
Right. So for that, so when I go to England, I'll present my British passport. Right. When I enter America, I'll present my U.S. passport. Right. And if there's anything that's weird with that, then I'll show them. You know, I'll show them my British passport.
I'm sure they get them all the time.
Yes.
But when you leave the U.S. and come back in the U.S., it's on the U.S. passport.
Exactly. Yes. Yep. And that's what it's always going. That's what it's going to be from on.
Because if you try to come back in and you go, like, mistakenly, oh, yes, here's my British passport, they're going to go,
Yeah.
Then. No, they would just probably treat you like,
because he left on his U.S. passport. You can't come back on a different passport.
Yeah, you can.
How?
Well, yes.
When Hayden goes to England, he uses his British passport. When he comes home, he uses his American passport.
Right.
Am I right, Hayden?
Yes.
Yes. You're saying is wrong.
No. What I'm saying is if upon entry of the U.S., he gave them his British passport
American passport on the way out and his British passport on the way in, there might be problems. They would throw you in Canadian gulag.
I don't know if It would just be like, well, you know, they just would treat you like you have to go through a different sort of process getting into the country. And yes. one of the reasons why people do dual citizenship, like especially like Hayden, he has family in England. Going back and forth is easier.
Right. Exactly. Because on a green card, you get every time you get come back into America, you get fingerprinted, you get the retina scan.
Right.
And if they don't like you, they, you know, interrogate you. I mean, there's been a few times I've been tired and I probably, you know, I've come off a plane. I probably look, you know, scruffy and the immigration man, obviously I have a green card, but he was, you know, I did the fingerprints, did the iris scan, you know, the green card, and he was a bit, you know, he was looking around for his supervisor to, you know, can you just step into this room whilst we, you know, check your social media, please? Sort of.
Wow.
Yikes, fellas.
Whoops. It was.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hayden, even though you're an American citizen now, you technically could come into the country with your British passport, but it would just be a hassle.
Yes, it would just be a hassle. Yes. I would have to enter as a on the UK US visa waiver program,
right?
Which tour, you know, British people do as tourists all the time to visit Disney. You have 90 days,
right?
And
sure,
because you don't have a green card anymore.
I didn't. I had to surrender that on Sunday.
Wow.
Yep, not only did I have to surrender it, but they took a hole punch, a sort of a novelty oversized hole punch, not just like a ring binder, but a, you know, sort of size of a.
Oh, they destroyed it! Wow.
Yes. Yep.
They're not messing around. They don't want to back in.
But sitting in the waiting room all the times when I was at, you know, going through all of this, the waiting rooms is the most conversationally interesting event. It was
a loaded phrase if I've ever heard one.
So I can speak four languages, and just because of my life journey, I've learned I can speak four languages, which means that some languages that I don't speak, I have enough understanding of a few other languages that you can pick a few words here and there, and you can start to put things together. You can't understand everything that everyone's saying, but there's a few words that are similar in languages across the globe to make you know and you start to realize that some of these people are just desperate in but you're not sure what the hell is going on. And I mean, there was this one word, but I was "permitico" that I kept hearing all the time, which obviously I'm going to assume is permission or permit.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating. Every time I went in a suit, my hair hair combed, my shoes polished. And people were there in, you know, jeans and tatty t-shirts with,
wow, I'm gonna go on a limb and say that one of the reasons it took you such a short amount of time is because of that.
Yep.
You. you didn't self-obstruct yourself, if I can. You know what I mean? I mean, you got a lawyer that was well-versed in the process. You studied. You learned everything. You showed up in a presentable attire. And, you know, I mean, that matters to people, you know. It's like when you get on an airplane, right? You know, the guy wearing shorts, flip-flops, and a tank top is not going to get the upgrade to first class if it's available.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. And, if you know, you show up in, you know, nice clothes, then, you know, you might get that upgrade.
Right. Yes. So
people, and, you know, it's like, you know, it's the same thing with neck tattoos and everything else. You know, it's people are like, sabotaging themselves.
Right. So, yeah. Yes.
So once you got, you know, you passed your test and you got approval and all that stuff, you had to go in front of a judge? Take the oath and all that kind of stuff?
That is what I did. So I got, so last Sunday was International Celebration Day. So they had a special event on a Sunday, which I thought was a bit weird. At the Cleveland Art Museum, the same place where currently the Michelangelo.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I love that building.
Yes. And in fact, I got given a year's membership.
Wow. Oh, you're so lucky. Nice. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. A citizen?
You know, Hayden, Mike and I get a membership every year because it is, you get into the special exhibits for free and stuff. So it's that's a good prize for becoming an American.
Right. I thought, oh, I'm keeping that.
Congratulations. Come look good. Smart.
There's worse things.
Yes. And so there was 50 people. It took 2 weeks from the exam and the interview to being sworn in, and there were about 50 people being sworn in that day. I managed to sneak a peek at the list, and there were a lot of people from a country of Bhutan, Bahun.
Bhutan,
yes. Let me hold on. I have a photo. Let me bring it up.
Is it Bhutan?
Bhutan, yes. Bhutan. Bhutan, yes.
They tend to be folks from African nations that come to the United States tend to be super patriotic and very conservative. At least, like, just about everyone I've met, like, in the Northern Virginia area.
Right. So of those 50 people, there was about 20 from there. The rest were Mexican and Puerto Rican, and then there was about 10 people less.
Puerto Rican. That's interesting because Puerto Rico is they should all be citizens already.
It's a territory, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. They were being sworn in, and it clearly said Puerto Rico.
Oh.
I think Aiden's fawning us. He's seen if we're paying attention.
Interesting. Maybe they were there via somewhere else.
He's curious if us gringos catch on to him.
Interesting. I wonder if the Bhutan people were like Tibetan refugees or something.
That could be.
Fleeing the communist Chinese.
Yes, who the NBA can't placate fast enough.
Oh yeah. And so let's. I just want Hayden to finish his process. See, you know, when you're there, you're at this event at the art museum. You're in front of the judge. Well, you got to stand up and raise your hand and all that kind of stuff. What's the? I mean, I've seen it on TV, but you know how TV is. Did we lose Hayden?
We lost Hayden.
Did we?
Oh.
And.
We've lost Hayden.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Oh.
Yeah, we can hear you now. We couldn't hear you for a little bit.
Did you put us on mute? Are you pooping?
I'm not, no.
Don't worry, we won't keep out.
So I wasn't sure if it was going to be one by one, or if it was going to be everyone together, like some, you know, Korean moony wedding.
Oh my God. Look it up, kids.
Welcome to America, kid.
Yes. And in the end, it was like a Korean moony wedding.
Baptized you en masse.
Yes. So the judge stood everyone up and right hand, and you know, had to do explain state that you understood what you were doing, and that you're doing it freely, and the rights and the obligations that you had to, you know, you had to take with the oath, and then everyone took the oath together. And then he brought everyone up one by one to the stage to shake hands and give the certificate of nationalization that you get. And I notice. So all the people from Bhutan were wearing their national costume, which is sort of a. Which I thought was interesting that not Levi's and a T-shirt, because it says on the form, it says this is a solemn affair. Please dress accordingly.
So they're probably wearing their like their version of their formal attire.
I think so. Yes, and sort of jackets like a vest, like a waistcoat with, you know, some beautiful gold embroidery on, and a hat that looks a bit like a Turkish fez, but without the bobble, you know, without the sort of the, it's more cloth than rigid, and beautifully sort of sequined, sort of gold thread. I don't know if that's what they wear all the time or if it's for special, but it, you know, I thought it fascinating that, you know, that's what, you know, that's what they would cling to that on that day, but that's what they were doing. But I walked up and I noticed that he was really just sort of shaking hands, giving the certificate and waving off. But when I came up dressed in, you know, in a suit and clearly Anglo-Saxon, expression. He shook my hand and actually spoke to me for a few minutes and said he read my name off the thing and said, you know, so what's your story? Where do you come from? How did you get here? And there was a microphone and it picked it up. I explained that I came to America from an inter-office transfer, and during this time I worked a little bit in law enforcement and made a contribution to Ohio for that and fell in love with a wonderful American 10 years ago and wanted to continue my civic duty. And, you know, it was actually a nice moment that was a little bit out of place because he seemed to single me out.
Probably
because
he knew you could speak English.
And then when he'd gone through everyone, he sort of said some closing remarks, which was, congratulations for everyone, for going through the process, for everything you've done and the life that you'll have ahead of yourself. And then he almost ran off the stage and disappeared.
I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Uh, yeah. And I it might have been it was a Sunday morning. It was You know, the pubs were open.
He had a tea time, man. He had to get to the thing.
Yes,
well, Alan explained, because tea time means something totally different to Hayden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hayden knows what a tea time is in America.
That's when you sit down and have tea with the queen, right? Come on.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The U.S.
I still think when you caught that line, how did he get here? You should have just stood up and said, "I swam." The reaction.
Yes.
Well, I'm reading an article here from Cleveland.com, and it says that Cleveland is the number one city for immigrants to become U.S. citizens.
Interesting. I wonder why that is.
In the whole country, we have the nation's shortest average processing time.
Oh, that's why.
Among the highest rates of clearing its backlog and the most efficient U.S. citizenship field offices.
Yeah.
So, that explains yay, Cleveland.
It. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I can see that the ratio of people, the ratio of prospective green card, people's perspective that want to become versus the size of the population versus, mm-hmm. The access to Cleveland,
right.
Well, they probably figure that if you're gonna go to Cleveland, you must be really serious about being a U.S. citizen.
Wow, Brita, you. Wow, there's some shade.
Yes, well, I mean, that's not shade. I mean, think about it. You know, it's easy to roll up in Miami or New York or San Francisco or someplace like that, or or El Paso or wherever, and go, "Hey, make me a citizen." But to get yourself all the way to Cleveland, that's like,
wait, it's not like the hinterlands, Alan.
No,
it's like,
but it's the
Cleveland.
Furthest. Yeah, but it's like the furthest in place, one of the furthest away from all those other places. I mean, it's like,
right, because it's not like I don't know, borders in other countries, basically.
Yeah, but that's Canada. That doesn't count.
That's the English pipeline, Alan. They can move,
boy.
And then they come over the border and steal our jobs, damn it.
Hayden didn't come through Canada. I'm sure he's been to Canada.
Wait a minute. Or did he? What are your thoughts on mayonnaise?
Hayden, you mentioned one downside to being a U.S. citizen. The whole IRS taxation thing. You kind of skipped the other downside.
What?
Now you have to be on jury.
Jury duty?
You'll get that jury summons now.
I've presented to enough juries in my career. I've presented to enough judges.
They might always kick you out anyway, but you got to show up.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Yes. Yes.
Get your $6. Because that's supposed to be some kind of compensation for skipping the day, paying $50 to park somewhere, and
Right.
Don't get me started.
We get Alan all wound up.
Yeah, I know. Don't get me wound up.
But watch out.
Well, congratulations.
I'm thinking,
Hayden.
We are
thrilled. I'm thrilled that you're a citizen.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
All jokes aside, Hayden, we could not be more thrilled.
Yes. I was, when I saw that on Facebook, I was like immediately like, Oh my God.
There's only one thing that could make it better.
What?
Can we send someone out of the country in his place?
Oh.
We took Hayden in, pick someone out.
Okay.
I'll make a list.
That's yeah.
Can we vote people off the island, Jay?
This is Squirrel Report Facebook page, please. Let's start a thread.
Yes, totally. Who do we send off the island?
We brought Hayden in. Someone's got to go.
Yes. I certainly think what's absolutely been quite fascinating is that the my whole life in America has been absolute to go through all processes and all documentations absolutely legally. You know, America is a nation of laws. And to follow all of them, and when you see in the political news cycle of let's just amnesty and things like this, and I mean I've spent throughout my time in America on immigration related matters for my interoffice transfer, my green card, for this, the amount of money I've spent, I could have bought a small car. But I did so in order to follow the law. And at any point in that, they could have turned around and said, I don't like the look of your face, denied, F off. I don't think they would have, but at the same time, they could have, what is it they say? You most people commit 3 felonies a day, I could have got a speeding ticket, I could have forgotten to pay my car insurance because I have a busy life, and I get pulled over and all of a sudden I don't excuse me, sir, license and registration. Yes, that's your license. Your registration papers, please. For your car. Damn it, I knew I was going to get around to it last week, but, just didn't. But it's these, not only is it following the law for the immigration, but it's following the law because you're a guest. You're a guest in this country, and you have to behave like, you have to behave as if, you're a guest in someone's house. So you don't shit in the wardrobe,
If only everyone else had that same attitude.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
But that's a great point, Hayden, because a lot of things that people who are U.S. citizens do, like commit felonies and crimes and all that kind of stuff, if you're a resident alien, you can get booted out of the country for that stuff.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they can, even like misdemeanors and stuff like that, they can say, nope, you're done.
Absolutely.
So you got to be, like you said, you got to be really, really self-conscious about not screwing up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And not because the alternative is I want to screw up.
Right.
My life is bored. I want to make my life interesting because, YOLO. but when you see
YOLO, wait a minute, back up, rewind. Yo, that's something kids say. Come on. Now he's next thing you know, he's gonna yeet something.
Did the judge yeet you your citizenship card?
Yes, he did.
He yeeted the green card.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
YOLO is what people say when they have a poor understanding of cost benefit analysis and
and poor impulse control.
And impulse control,
if you will. That is the modern day carpe diem.
But yes.
Just an alternative way of looking at it.
But you see these politics and you think to yourself, that's an effing insult. you know, that's an effing insult to all the people that are in this similar situation and have a similar outlook in life. And there's, you know, there is, you know, millions of green card holders that, you know, go through their lives every day behaving and doing everything legally because they're just like I was, you know, they're a respected guest in this country. And it's sort of, it just, you think to yourself, how dare you stand on that stage as a politician and just go, yeah, whatever, don't worry. You know, I obviously I know it's for the votes. I know, yes, sure. But moving that point aside, you it just makes your blood boil when you start, you know, all these people going, well, all the politicians, oh, well, just grant amnesty because, you know, whatever's.
Well, and it's in Texas, you know, we have a lot of legal Hispanic residents who either grew up here or came here and, you know, legally.
Yep.
And we have a lot of ones who did it illegally. And the Democrats seem to think they're all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are not
racist.
They're not all the same.
They want you to think they're all the same.
Right. Yeah. The Democrats would desperately hope for them to be all the same. But
easier for your opponent as they hate immigrant. That's anti-American. When it's no, we're against illegal immigrant, which you can't say in New York anymore.
Oh, yeah. But lots of Hispanics voted for Trump in the election.
And they did so because they didn't want the nonsense and fuckwittery that they've had to leave behind,
right,
to follow them over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the 16 election, it was something like 25% of Hispanics. Now, I mean, obviously, this is, you know, I mean, this is, you know, polling fraught with peril, but the you know, it's 25% voted for Trump, and I suspect it's going to be a lot higher in the next election.
Yes,
but that's, you know, that's 25% of people that who are supposed to be Democrats, according to, you know, according to the rule. And I suspect they have the same feelings you do, Hayden. They, you know, they got here legally. They had to obey the law. They had to do things the right way. And then these people come rolling up across the border and say, you know, hey, give us amnesty. And they're like, screw you. Build the damn wall.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm for building the wall. I'm absolutely for building the wall. And when we're done with that one, we'll do one on Canada.
But the thing is you know, here's the thing, though. It is, you know, people piss and moan about how hard it is to get into the U.S. and be a citizen, but it's not that hard if
you have money.
If you have money and you can be a productive citizen, it's much harder if you have no money and you want to come here and sit and be on welfare. It's very difficult to be a U.S. citizen if you don't want to contribute to the country.
Right.
But if you're like Hayden or somebody else who's a professional, you know, makes a, you know, decent living and can, you know, hire a lawyer and get it done. And honestly, I don't see a problem with that. I don't want more people coming here that have no ambition, you know, and the only reason they want to be here is to, you know, get free shit. We have enough of those.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It,
you know, if you know, I would say I'd be more inclined to support the, you know, quasi open borders if you had to come here and go to work. If there weren't any handouts waiting, you know. But that's not the world we live in. So,
wasn't that used to be a law though that you were not able to become a citizen if you didn't have employment?
I believe so.
I think that was like one of the laws that they had.
That's
when that changed. But
If you want to emigrate to Canada, you have to prove you have a job.
And a well, then.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Meaning truths nobody likes to talk about when, you know, they discuss how horribly racist Trump is because, you know, he wants, you know, there to actually be an immigration policy. You know, or look at, I don't know, Mexico's immigration policy.
Mm-hmm.
Just to pick a country at random. Does Mexico allow anyone in? No, they don't.
They don't. So in order to get Mexican citizenship, I looked it up. You have to be first requirement is you be a legal resident of Mexico.
Oh.
Yep.
They don't give amnesty?
No, they don't.
So we've started the process for British citizenship for my American wife.
Hmm.
And so this is the process. She can enter and leave England as often as she wants on a tourist visa, but has to be every 90 days, and obviously has to have proof of evidence that she has an active plane ticket out of England for a tourist visa.
Okay.
But you can get that.
So she can't come like live at your house for 6 months and just stay there.
Not on a tourist visa.
Okay.
What if she was really a tourist? Just saying.
I'm sorry. A big apartment, Jay?
If she came in as, I'm just a really rich tourist who can afford to stay here for 6 months.
I don't think that's right.
At that point, then she could apply to the Home Office for special permission. I mean, some Hollywood actors and actresses they do that, but you know, if the movie is going to take more than 90 days to film,
you know, but that takes money, like that. I assume.
Yeah,
obviously it takes money. Yeah. So my wife can get a spousal visa, which has a 3-year clock on it.
Oh.
But the clock starts the moment she gets the visa.
Oh.
So and she can get that visa by visiting the British Embassy in Washington D.C.
Nowhere else?
But if she, she can get it anywhere. She can get it in England.
No, I meant, but in the U.S., if she has to, like, physically go to the British Embassy to get it?
Yes.
Wow.
To get it. Yep.
Imagine that.
And so that gives her permission to remain in England for that period of time. Whilst she's in England, she can apply for permission to remain indefinitely, which is the and that's a type of visa, but it's a more of a permission than a visa. So that would be the equivalent of the green card.
Okay.
So whilst she is living on that permission to remain indefinitely, after 3 years of living in England, having a permanent UK address, and part of that is you have to register at the local police station every 3 months to prove that you are actually staying legally as a permission to, remain indefinitely. Then after 3 years, she can apply for British citizenship. So that is the pathway for my wife. So come and go on a tourist visa, get a spousal visa theoretically from Washington DC, or from the, you know, the British embassy, permission to remain indefinitely, and then British citizenship.
Huh. So I can't just like roll up on the beach there at the bottom of the cliffs of Dover and say, give me asylum.
Sanctuary.
So I don't know about the asylum process. I didn't research that. But I
guess currently it'd be the EU process, right? Because
it would be, yes. So with the Brexit law. So I know about the asylum process through my study of Brexit. So what's going to change with that for England is the law is going to become that you have to prove you sought asylum in the first country that you entered where you would not have received persecution.
Imagine that. Exactly what we want to do, what Trump wants to do for the Central American refugees.
Okay.
That's exactly the policy he's trying to get implemented. Because what they're doing now is they're coming from Guatemala or wherever, rolling through Mexico, showing up in you know, San Diego or wherever, and going, hey, I'm here for amnesty. And
right.
What he's trying to do is go, no, you've got to apply. You got to go to the U.S. Embassy in the country, in the first country you get to when you leave yours, apply for amnesty there, and then sit there and wait while we process it.
Yes.
Which seems to be the way almost every other country does it.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. But
I don't
know
why the U.S. is so awful for doing it the same way everyone else does. You know. And you know, it's funny. I was looking at Mexico. That you have to be a legal resident of Mexico for 5 years before you can apply for citizenship based on naturalization, assuming you don't have, you know, like parents that were citizens or anything like that. But if you're just like, you know, like if I wanted to go move to Mexico and be a citizen, I'd have to be a legal resident there for 5 years before I could apply for citizenship. So imagine that.
All right.
Well, Jay's got to go.
Got to run. I just wanted to say once again, congratulations. Welcome aboard. You need to buy another gun, a Harley Davidson. I'm just telling you, they have to. They should have given you the news in the packet. acceptable firearms are M1 Garand. 1911 or Smith & Wesson or Colt revolver. Motorcycles are Harley Davidson or obviously, you know, Dodge Ram, Chevy, Silverado, and F-150, and you're good. So we'll see you at the next Hoot Nanny.
Yeah. Now that you're in the club, we can tell you all the secret stuff we don't tell foreigners.
as long as I say Jared, an M1 Jared.
Jared. I think they can revoke your citizenship for that. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Also, if you put the toilet paper on so it goes backwards.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
No.
Yeah.
That's the wrong way. Unless you have a small child or cats.
And I want, and obviously, congratulations for your son.
Thank you.
I know you're a mighty proud parent.
Ridiculously so. But thank you. And now I have to go pick up my daughter. So.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Good night, Jay.
Good night.
I'm thrilled, Hayden. If we had to pick somebody that could be a U.S. citizen, I don't think we could do better than you. So,
thank you.
That would, you know, we are all improved by
yes.
you've made the U.S. just a little bit better.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm starting my doctorate for data privacy law.
Oh, wow.
Next year. So information privacy law. That's going to be so I'll be able to contribute to the. So it's interesting. England, Europe has GDPR
right.
as their regulation. California has the, you know, the Californian privacy law. Massachusetts has the Massachusetts privacy law. Ohio actually, odd one out, but Ohio is currently reading their own privacy law. Yes, and you, California, Massachusetts, Ohio, spot the odd one out. But America is desperately in need of a federal privacy law.
Oh, I agree.
Desperately.
You know, we'll save the. I'm sure you have some well choice words to say about the Googles and Facebooks and all that kind of stuff and what they do. Not just them, but everyone else. It's. I mean, if people knew what other companies knew about what they do and what they think and read and all that kind of stuff, they would be shocked.
Yes.
I know a lot of people don't care, but a lot of people would be shocked.
Yes. Yes. And I hope to, I'll not be an attorney. I'm not an attorney and I won't be one. It's just, I'm studying the law and, I'll see how then go to.
That's good, because the last thing you want is lawyers writing laws.
Yes, yes.
Somebody's got to tell them how to do it right. Yeah. Well, that's excellent. I think we're over an hour, so I can't. Is there any, Brita? Do you have anything else?
I have nothing else. I think it was a great show. I learned a lot.
I agreed. It was fantastic. We will not be back next week.
Nope.
Because I got stuff to do. But we'll be back the week after that.
Okay.
And congratulations again, Hayden. And thank
yes.
you for being on the show. And, you know, we should have like a special squirrel. I should do a squirrel report citizenship shirt or something.
We should design.
Oh, totally.
Yes. Like
Uncle Sam squirrel.
Yeah.
Oh,
cute.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll work.
I'm on it.
We'll work.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, Hayden. And
thank you.
we'll chat again.
Bye. Okay.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.